actual players know the meaning of success. Dedication is the way to fight for happiness. Where the mighty fighting lies, to grind them in the ground to the premiership we're bound. Glory, glory, Subiaco. Glory, glory, Subiaco. Glory, glory, Subiaco.
Well, what a hard-fought game the 2014 Waffle Grand Final was. Played in wet conditions with the two strongest and most consistent teams for the season going head-to-head. Hello and welcome to the final edition of the Monday Waffle for 2014. I'm Bonnie Rayner and later on I'll be joined by Trudy McIntosh, who we've pulled off the interchange bench for this week. The Monday Wafflers have a few outs at the moment. Later on in the podcast I'll also be joined by Tim Gossage, a die-hard Subi fan who is very happy with the Lions' win yesterday. Now, the Lions went into yesterday's game as underdogs, with East Perth having an impressive, but what I would probably call a scary lineup. 11 of their 22 men were listed Eagles players through the alignment model. I reckon I would almost say there was 12, though, because Callum Sinclair, an Eagles rookie, is not counted in that 11. So the Subiaco Lions were up against 12 West Coast Eagles players, but that wasn't enough to stop them. They shocked us all. They were incredible. The final score of the game was 11 goals, 16, 82. To the Royals, 9 goals, 12, 66. Now, what a turnaround for the Lions. 2013 season, they finished second bottom. 2014, they're premiers. I think Jared Schofield, their coach, would be extremely happy, well, much happier at the moment than he was this time last year. It's only Schofield's second year as coach. Schofield said after the game that he just described the win as a massive outcome for a lot of hard work from everyone involved in the footy club. So it's definitely a day to remember for the Subiaco Lions. Before we get into the major ball winners and the Simpson medalist, I've just got a feel for East Perth. Back-to-back losses in grand finals now, it would be a very hard pill to swallow. They finished this season as the minor premiers and they were clear of Subiaco by 2 games, and also they beat Subiaco by 32 points in the semi-final just 2 weeks ago. So they probably went into the game thinking they had it in the bag, also with their, you know, 12 Eagles players that they had in the lineup. So whether they just went in a bit complacent thinking, oh, we've got this in the bag, or whether they just weren't the better team on the day, it's still a very hard pill to swallow, and I'm sure the East Perth Royals will be back even stronger and hungrier next year. They did put up a great fight. They had control of the game for most of the first half. They were leading 13-14 at quarter time. It was very low scoring because of the shocking conditions that it was played in. They were down by 4 points at the major break, but unfortunately, nothing was able to stop Subiaco, not even their lack of experience in grand finals. So in the Subiaco team from yesterday, they had Darren Rumble, Sean Hildebrandt, and Kyle Horsley. They're the only three players who have played in a premiership at Subiaco. And our guest from last week, Wade Toomey, he's played a premiership but for the Swans. So only 4 of their players had experience in a grand final. The Lions looked polished and confident in the premiership quarter. That was when they won it. The Royals tried to fight back in the fourth quarter. The Royals won that last quarter by 2 goals, but unfortunately, I think they left their comeback until too late on in the game. They ran out of time. They were on fire, and I think they probably could have come through with the win had there been another quarter, but they just started that fight too late on in the game.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
We're joined now by Trudy McIntosh, who I have pulled off the interchange bench due to our outs we have with the Monday Waffle this week. Trudy, thanks so much for joining us.
No worries, Bonnie. It's nice to be given the big call-up and grand final week.
Yeah, big week for you to get your call-up.
Now, I know.
It was your first Waffle game, wasn't it? What did you think of it?
I thought it was really good to see. There wasn't that many people there, though. I think the wet and rainy, cold, freezing conditions really kept a lot of people away. So I wish there had been a full stadium. That would have been a lot more exciting, but you can't have everything you want.
Definitely. Now, what did you think of the actual game, on-field game?
I thought the game was interesting in terms of just yelling at players to, you know, kick the ball. And it's not the same standard as the AFL is what I thought yesterday.
It was quite a rough game yesterday, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah, there wasn't that many big marks or... There was a lot of fights, which I was very excited about. I don't know if you're allowed to say that, but it is fun to see the boys get all excited about, you know, their team and get all fired up.
Yeah, there definitely was the grand final spirit there, wasn't there? And also in the crowd, where were you sitting?
Well, I was sitting underneath the cover. I think this is the second tier, something like that. And anyway, we were sitting, must have been in the middle of the East Perth area, and we sat in front of this old family, and there was this old nana behind us, and she just kept yelling, "Go Eagles," which is obviously the wrong team name because she is a big Eagles supporter. But anyway, she wouldn't stop yelling and made it really annoying, so we had to move in the end because she just couldn't handle her screaming.
Gosh, she's half right there because there was 11 Eagles players listed in the team. But yeah, I wonder if Nana's marbles are all there because she should have been cheering for the Royals, not for the Eagles.
She was like, she didn't look like a crazy fan. Like when you looked at her, you're like, oh, that's just a sweet old grandma. And then when you heard what she was screaming out on the field, you're like, wow, you are crazy.
So it was lots of colour in the game for you, for your first experience at a waffle game.
Yeah, it was very good. I'm so glad I got to go along.
Well, thank you so much for giving an insight into the atmosphere for us at the grand final yesterday.
No worries. I'm more than happy to be super subbed in any time.
It's the
Monday
Waffle! Yeah!
The Simpson medal went to Jason Bristow, who was outstanding with 23 touches. He had 16 kicks, 7 handballs, 2 marks, 5 tackles, 4 inside 50s and a goal. What a crazy list that is. He was just impressive to watch. He was on fire. Also great for the Lions, Chris Phelan had 25 possessions with 8 clearances and 2 goals. Skipper Kyle Horsley had 27 disposals. Latham with 20. Wade Toomey, 19. And Hildebrandt had 17. Now, Hampson overcame a hamstring injury before halftime to end up with 3 goals at a real crucial point in the third quarter where the Lions took the game over. Josh DeLuca had 21 touches and a goal as well. And Chris DeLuca kicked 2 goals. Down back, Daniel Leishman should be mentioned. He was outstanding. He held Josh Hill goalless. Hill had a shot after the siren in the third quarter, but he wasn't able to convert it, so that is a huge achievement for Leishman. Fraser McGuinness kicked 3 goals for East Perth, and Josh Smith had 2, while co-captain Brendan Lee worked his bum off for 24 possessions and 9 tackles. Blaine Wilson and Sam Butler had 22 disposals. Ashley Smith and Dean Cadwallader with 19. Jacob Brennan took 5 really strong defensive marks, trying to stop those roaring Lions in the third term. He had 17 disposals. He held Shane Yaron goalless, which was a great effort. And Matthew Boland was also goalless for Subiaco, despite getting 51 for the season and finishing 2nd in the Bernie Naylor race. He was shut down by Kyle Anderson. And Patrick McGinnity's game finished early with a broken thumb.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Former Subiaco Lions Colts coach and AFL commentator Tim Gossage joins me now. Goss, thanks so much for joining us. You must be wrapped with the win.
Yeah, I'm on a high. It's fair to say I'm on a high. Unbiased as I was yesterday commentating the game, but very hard not to be looking between one maroon and one gold eye. It was a great result.
So did you party hard last night?
No. I down tools and went home to the family, but I said it went blow by blow, goal by goal with the kids about the afternoon's work. So, but they are partying hard today, let me tell you.
Yes, I've heard. That's why I'm lucky enough to be having a chat to you, because I couldn't get a hold of one of them. I think they're either very hungover or still drunk.
No, they're having a dress-up day. They've actually done a remarkable job, a la sort of the Geelong sort of follow-up, the end-of-season Geelong. They've done a ripper job, and you probably wouldn't get them speaking any English if you had to try to get them on. I think they have enjoyed the last sort of 12, 14 hours.
And you can't blame them. What a turnaround from the 2013 season, which saw them finish 2nd last on the ladder to premiers in 2014.
Yeah, really good coaching job and a great commitment by the footy club and the players to buy into a change of philosophy and the standard set. They trained extremely hard. They certainly stayed true to the course, all the sort of football cliches. But, you know, everyone was writing them off. I think they used that as a bit of ammunition. I don't think they internally talked too much about the East Perth powerhouse juggernaut scenario. I think they just thought our best footy would be good enough to win. And I think what we saw yesterday, midway through that third quarter, when the game was in the balance, I think, and I made a comment during the game and post-game, it was more like a club that the result meant more to than the team. And I don't want to be disrespectful to East Perth, but I truly felt that Subiaco Football Club was being represented there, and maybe as opposed to an East Perth team, which is still taking time to gel with that West Coast Eagles connection.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't have put it better myself. And it must have been hard for East Perth, obviously, back-to-back losses now in grand finals, but also with the changing week to week with the alignment model, it's hard for them to have any cohesion with their team changing so regularly.
It is. I spoke to Craig Wolfe on Friday before the grand final, and I talked to him, and you know, he's been around the backyard a fair bit, and he's over 200 games, and he's one of the sort of loyal footballers in our competition. He's one of the great survivors, and even with the input of that sort of 10 or 11 West Coast Eagles, I said to him, you know, has he struggled to make the transition? He said, no, he genuinely believes he's a better footballer. They have a better game plan. They're fitter. The players that come have really committed to the cause. There was just a breakdown yesterday. I felt that they were just beaten. There was no. I don't think it was anyone not trying. I don't think it was anyone that didn't mean too much to. But I just thought Subiaco probably just had that spark, and it probably came from a bloke that I was lucky enough to coach many years ago, in Chris Phelan. I thought he was outstanding for Subiaco, and I think when the game was there to be won, I think a couple of really telling touches and a beautiful goal from about 50 was the difference. And I think that was the start of the end, I think, for East Perth, and onwards and upwards for Subi.
Definitely. Phelan was unstoppable with his 28 possessions, 8 clearances and 2 goals, wasn't he?
He's very good, very clean. You know, what he lacks in speed, he uses in skill. And there's a lot of those footballers around who probably don't have the pace of some of the genuine midfielders, but they big bodies, and they almost like a David Mundy, where they're big bodies and they use the ball well. So, hats off to Chris. He's come through that sort of junior process for Subiaco, came right through the Colts reserves, and he stayed with that club, and he got true reward. He came at the back end, as far as a league footballer is concerned, at the back end of sort of a great era for Subi under German and Waters. He's had to toil through some lean years, i.e. last year, as you mentioned, but he got true reward. I thought he was outstanding and very unlucky not to win the Simpson Medal.
Yeah, so would you have given it to him?
I said Bristow straight away, but sort of I'm not a stats man. I was sort of more looking at sort of the grunt work, and I thought Bristow, it was the perfect day for Bristow. That's the way he likes it. He likes it dirty, he likes socks down, he likes to take on the physical side of things, and I thought he was very good. I thought it was Bristow or Phelan, and I thought the first half of Frank Stockley in the ruck was significant as well. I think he kept them in the game. Probably not good enough to win the Simpson, but Bristow or Phelan and, you know, line ball, I think still a very fitting winner.
Yeah, definitely. And just lastly, with obviously Subi beating East Perth is significant on its own, but considering the 11 Eagles players which were in the side yesterday, what do you think this means for Waffle? Does it restore the hope that the alignment model won't dominate the league's dynamics?
Yeah, it's a good question, a really good question, and it does. I think it does exactly that. I mean, look, I'm not anti the alignment. I can truly understand why the West Coast Eagles and Fremantle Dockers have aligned themselves. I know dyed-in-the-wool, you know, blue-collar sort of Waffles fans aren't a big fan of it, but to be honest, that theory sort of got blown out the window yesterday. Whether the all available West Coast Eagles players that have played that minimum 5 games that could have played for East Perth, they all didn't put their hand up and played. There's a few others that could have possibly played and they could have been a tad stronger. One thing, I just think it brings it back to a level where we're pretty happy with the result, because it's a win for a true Waffle club in its true form. In a couple of years, we'll just move on. East Perth might be dominant next year. But one thing's for sure, I think Subiaco and others take heart going into 2015.
Definitely. Now, congratulations and enjoy the win.
Yes, yes. I feel like I played. Yes. I've got my own premiership medal. Nah, thanks very much. Good to do it. And well done to the Lions.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Tim Gossage there, one very happy Lions supporter after yesterday's victory, and I'm sure there are many more out there. As for East Perth, tough day for them coming off the back of yesterday's loss, but I'm sure next year will be their year. That's all we've got time for today on the Monday Waffle. Thanks for joining me, and thanks for joining us this year. This concludes our final episode. It's been great fun, and we hope you've enjoyed yourself too. On behalf of Jack, who couldn't join us today, I'd like to leave you with our signature sign-off, keep kicking goals.